Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 14. We're going to be reading chapter 14, verses 1 to 23. Romans 14, 1 to 23. That is the entirety of the chapter, which really deals with one topic that we're going to be considering today. Romans 14 from verse 1 is part of God's holy and living and inerrant word of God. We read, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to put another stumble, to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubt is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin." As for the reading of God's holy word, let us pray for understanding. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that it is in his name that we pray that you would strengthen us to understand your word, that we might grow in the fullness of the measure of its stature of the Lord Jesus Christ together as a body. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul responds to a conflict between believers or groups of believers, a conflict that was dominant in the early church and still is dominant in a different sense today. It is the conflict between strong and weak believers. The weak and strong believers were quarreling with one another, and it was breaking up the unity of the church, not just in Rome, but also in Colossians and Galatians and different parts and different churches in the ancient world. Now the question is, what does the Apostle Paul mean by weak in faith? Did they not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Were they doubting that Jesus died for their sins? No, that's not what he's referring to.
They believed in the forgiveness of sins through faith.
But they disagreed on the Christian life. That's the difference between the strong and weak. Listen to verses 1 and 2. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over his opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Paul calls them weak in faith because their faith was not strong enough to see the complete application of the gospel. They had heard the gospel. They believed in the forgiveness of sin. They believed that Jesus died for all their sins and that they were forgiven by faith alone. And yet when it came to living out that gospel, they still felt in their conscience that they had to keep certain restrictions, certain earthly restrictions, certain things that were not legal and lawful for them to eat or to do. Paul gives a more detailed explanation of this discussion in Colossians 2, 16 to 23. If you have your Bibles in front of you, read along. It's a little bit of a longer portion, but I think it's important because it's the same theme and we see some more insights on this. Colossians 2, 16 to 23, we read, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink with regard to a festival or a new Sabbath or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God." It says this in verse 20, "If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch," referring to things that all perish as they are used, "according to human precepts and teachings. They have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh." Here Paul is speaking in support of the strong in faith and says, don't let these regulations disturb you and think that you're not serving God. And so the early church was divided in two groups. Some believers, especially those who came out of Judaism, believed that the laws and the restrictions of the Old Testament still applied. Don't eat this, but you're allowed to eat that. Do this on this day, go there on that day. Some teachers even traveled from church to church to teach people that this is the Christian life. That's what Colossians is about, and Paul is going against them and he's saying, don't follow them. In the book of Romans, we have the same discussion, but here it's in the conscience. It's not actively people being teaching and trying to persuade others, but you have Christians in the early church. Some of them feel that they cannot eat certain things, and others feel that they can eat all things. The weaker in faith have a conscience that burdens them because they grew up not eating these things, and so they felt they cannot eat them because they're unclean. While others said, no, Christ has completely saved me, and anything I can eat that God has made. And so the other group, starting with the apostles, and especially the apostle Paul, taught that Jesus Christ had set them free from the law through the Holy Spirit. They were no longer bound by earthly restrictions, which Paul calls the elementary things, the first things. Now we have gone into Christ. We have moved into Christ. And so they taught that believers in Christ had entered the fullness of holiness so that the external restrictions and making distinctions between days and foods and all these things that are passing away are no longer restrictions upon God's people. Now we live by faith. We live as heavenly citizens on earth. Now the thing is, both these people groups sought to please the Lord. Some sought to please the Lord by not eating certain things. Others sought to please the Lord by eating all things and being thankful for it.
So what should we do?
Should we say to the weak in faith, you're wrong? You got to do what the strong in faith do?
Or should we tell the people that are strong in faith, you can stop eating a couple of things. You got to be like the weak in faith
and live their way.
The Apostle Paul does
neither of them, and he does both of them.
And it's crucial to understand this, not just because we want to know what the Bible says,
but because the same things apply to us today and are even present in our local congregation here. We have people that are stronger in faith and people that are weaker in faith. People that hold to certain restrictions, seeking to serve the Lord through those restrictions, and others that feel the freedom to serve the Lord without those restrictions.
Now, what Paul is doing is interesting. On the one hand, he's not pushing down on the weak, telling them that they should grow in faith. Instead, he's teaching both the weak and the strong
how to love one another and how to live in fellowship. The more important thing is not to try to persuade the other one, but to love the other one and to walk together in unity.
Beloved,
this was not only important for them, it's important for us. We have different interpretations, different standards of worship music, of the Lord's Day, of Christmas, Easter, and many other topics that we could go through.
The Apostle Paul teaches us that we should live in unity and how to do that despite our differences.
And to do that, he's going to highlight three essential truths we should understand if we are to be a local church body that honors the Lord. Three essential truths by which we can walk together in love, in unity, even though we have differences in our interpretations and different standards in certain ways.
We're going to go through them. You can find them in your bulletin. We'll start with the first one. The first essential truth is that God is Lord and judge. We see this in verses 5 to 13. We read, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Let each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord to give thanks to God." In other words, both the weak and the strong seek to serve the Lord. That's essential. Verse 7. "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not pass judgment on another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." Paul's teaching is crucial here. Some hold one day above another. He's probably referring here to the Jewish Sabbath, but I think we can apply it to our day as well. While others see every day as a day of the Lord. Some abstain from certain foods because they felt that those foods, to eat those, would be sinning against God. It would be unclean food, so they abstained from it to honor God. Others rejoiced in God and ate all kinds of food. But here's the key. Both these groups did that because they wanted to glorify God. And that's the thing that we need to see. Both of them wanted to honor and glorify God. And so if you have a difference with your brother, and he does that, and you talk with him, he says, "Why do you do this? Or why do you not do that?" And they say, "Because I want to glorify God. Because Christ died for me and I want to live holy."
then you say, praise the Lord. Serve him with all your might. If you do that for the glory of God, then praise the Lord. If it's not sinful in itself, of course.
Paul makes an important point. None of them were living in sin.
Because days are passing away. In heaven, there's not one day above another. All days are equally the day of the Lord. Others said, no, one day I want to exalt God. Not that I don't worship God on the other days, but this is a special day for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Both seek to serve God.
Actually, Paul says, and later on, he will make a very radical statement, nothing is unclean in itself.
Actually, there is only really one way to be unclean and to sin. It comes in verse 23. He writes,
but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin.
In other words, whatever you do, if it is not done out of faith in God that by this you please the Lord, it is sin.
If you say, I think I shouldn't eat that, but I really want to eat it, so I'm going to eat it anyway, that's not from faith. That's from the flesh.
You say, I think in my conscience that I should or shouldn't do this on certain days, but it's more convenient and my flesh wants to do it, then it's sin. Because then it's not a faith. But if you do it out of faith, out of worshiping God, Paul says, then it's not sin.
In other words, we are to live our lives according to our faith, according to our understanding of the gospel, and seek to live the entirety of our lives for the glory of God. Now, that's going to lead to differences between you and me. If I, through the gospel, have a faith that trusts in Christ, but believe that God still cares about what I can and cannot eat, I'm not going to defile my conscience by eating what I think I shouldn't eat. Even though I might be weaker in faith then, you might have a better understanding of the gospel than me, and you might feel that you can eat anything. And you can do that by faith, and you're stronger in faith. But we're both worshiping God. You see what Paul is after.
And then he says this. Here's the reason. For you are not each other's Lord. Jesus died for your brother and sister, so he is their Lord. And he or she does not have to give an account for his or her life to you. And I don't have to give an account for my life to you, brothers and sisters. That'd be a small thing. I have to give an account for my Lord, for whom who died for me and who purchased me with his blood. So you don't have to lord it over each other. What you can and cannot do, of course, we're not talking about sin, we're not talking about lying and stealing and those kind of things. But earthly things and the way we worship God, there's differences. And you must stand before the Lord in what you do and what you not do.
Then, Paul says, you're also not each other's judge.
I have to stand before my judge, the Lord, and you have to stand before the same judge. And you will have to give an account for what you did, when you did it, and why you did it. And so, the one who doesn't eat can stand before the judge one day and say, Lord, I did not eat this, O great judge of all the earth. Because in my conscience, it would have defiled my conscience. And by my conscience, the best way to worship you was by not eating it, and that's why I didn't eat it. Well done. You lived a life of righteousness. Another man stands before the judge and he says, Lord, I know that the substances of Christ and all these restrictions were shadows of what would happen in Christ. And I freely ate of everything, and I thanked you for every meal that I ate. I ate both beef and I ate pork. I ate all these things, and I gave thanks to you. And the judge will say, well done, you righteous man, you righteous woman. One will say, I held to the Sabbath, for I did it for your glory, O God. For I held one day apart from the other days. And the other will say, I saw every day as a day unto your glory. None of the things that I did was out of a fleshly desire, just living for myself. All the days were alike, glorifying you. Well done, you righteous one. That's what Paul is explaining. Now, some people have taken this and says, all right, well, this is great. No more restrictions. I can just live whatever way I want. You mean nothing is unclean? I can just spend my life living after my flesh? I can just indulge myself in food and drunkenness and overeat and just live in total debauchery? Well, that's great. That's not what Paul is saying. Because that's not living by faith. That's living according to the flesh. Let's make this very practical. The Lord's Day. Some people have said, well, according to this passage, I'm not bound by anything, any restrictions. So I can do whatever I want. I can make Sunday my day of relaxation where I'm just enjoying myself and doing whatever I want to do. You're wrong. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And Monday is also a day of the Lord. And Tuesday is a day of the Lord. All days belong to the Lord. And if you do it by the flesh, you're in sin already. Paul is saying, if you have restrictions on the Lord's Day, say, I can or cannot do this on the Lord's Day. If you do that for the Lord, praise the Lord. Don't break your conscience. But don't be judging others who don't hold to the same restrictions. Live by faith. If your reason for doing things on Sunday is fleshly, you grew up, this is what you cannot do on the Lord's Day. Then you hear about freedom in Christ, and you now see the Lord's Day as something that you can just live in your flesh. That's sinful. But if you've come to see that in Christ all days are alike, serve as unto Him. On the Lord's Day, I come together with my brothers and sisters, but I'm not restricted by certain things and certain things I can and cannot do. But it's a day of the Lord. Don't judge those that hold restrictions. Don't look down on that and say, well, you don't understand the gospel. And don't call against each other. Paul says, live in unity. And don't do anything that is not out of faith. You see, you can uphold the Lord's Day and live 6 days in sin and restrain yourself on the Lord's Day. That's not God-honoring. You can walk around and say, I really have a Lord's Day. It's my Sabbath. It's where I serve the Lord, and not serve Him for 6 days. That's not honoring to God. And you might have difficulties to hear that somebody does a certain thing on the Lord's Day that you would never do on the Lord's Day. But what if your brother is serving the Lord 7 days a week? Is he then not more righteous than you? If he holds all days the same as a day unto the Lord, of course not missing the gathering of the people of the Lord, hold your faith before God. For you are not the lord over your brother and sister, and you are not the judge of your brother and sister. Whatever is not done out of faith is sin. So let the strong in faith, those who think that they can do through Christ, Christ is a substance, I can worship God freely. Let them not despise those who hold to certain things more strictly. And let the ones who hold things more strictly not judge and despise those who feel more freedom. I told you it's a relevant topic today, isn't it? It pokes into our comfort zone. Second point. Walk in righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Or another way of titling this point is, what is the kingdom of God really about? What is the Christian life really about? 14 to 19, we read, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. What does he mean by that? Sin is unclean. He's not talking about sin. Eating something, touching something, doing something is not unclean in itself. But you can do it in an unclean way. That's Paul's point. It's unclean, he says, for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. The Apostle Paul explains that nothing is unclean in itself. No food is unclean. No day is unclean. No day is above the other. God made it all. Therefore, all is holy. It all belongs to him. Jesus Christ, everything is clean. Christians are no longer under the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament law. We have entered into the substance. The law was the figure, the shadow. We have now entered into the fullness of Christ, is what Paul is saying. And yet, if your brother thinks it is a sin to eat pork, you should not harm him by eating pork, for he will feel that you are purposefully defiling yourself. So if I sit down with a brother, and he says, I should not eat pork. I don't think I can worship God. I don't think God's people should eat pork. Let's eat beef, brother. Let's eat chicken. Now, if he's out of the house, he's somewhere else, I can eat pork. Because everything is clean. But in front of him, I don't want to defile my brother. I don't want him to go home and think, well, Can I not? I don't know. It isn't even a sinful thought. How can my brother eat this? Oh, I don't want to be him to be defiled in that way. I don't want him to be disturbed. I don't want to break his faith. I want to be gentle with him. I want to be careful. Not because it's unclean, but because it goes against the kingdom of God's law. The law of love. It strikes against the law of love. And if you're not loving your brother and your sister, you're walking in sin. By judging or by despising. Here is the key verse. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Christian life is about. To live in the kingdom of God and follow God is to live a life of righteousness, of joy, and of peace. to live righteous before God, to do what God desires, to have the Holy Spirit lead you and never to speak sin, never to hate, but to love, to use all for the glory of God, a life of peace with one another, not fighting one another, bickering with one another, a life of joy, a joyful fellowship and union, of loving each other even though you think differently. That's the kingdom of God. And if you're walking around with a big frown on your face and saying, that one over there misses the mark here, and that one over there misses the mark there, and that one over there has a standard that's different from mine, and that's wrong, and what that person does is wrong, and that person does is wrong, you know what you're doing? You're living contrary to the Holy Spirit. Because you're not walking in the kingdom of God of righteousness, peace, and joy. That's shocking, isn't it? Because it feels so righteous when you point your finger. I am holy. And I don't do what they do over there. God, thank you that I'm not like that one. You remember? You whisper behind people's back. You know what that person does? You go even deeper into sin. Let me ask you this. When you talk about your brothers and sisters in church, does that reflect righteousness, peace, and joy? Then praise the Lord. You're walking according to the kingdom of God rule, the rule of love. If it's judging, pointing fingers, causing divides, us, them, you're walking in the rule of Satan, who loves to divide. Even if you are right, technically speaking. That's what Paul is after. He's not saying the strong in faith got it all together. He is, in a sense, rebuking both groups. You can be strong in faith and still do wrong. The essence is to love each other and walk in unity through righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the key of the Christian life. To live righteously, peacefully, and joyfully with your brothers and sisters and growing spiritually is more important than persuading others of what you think should and shouldn't be done. If, of course, it's not sin in heaven. Maybe we should put it that way. If what he or she is doing should not be done in heaven, you shouldn't do it on earth. Does it matter what you eat in heaven? This is passed away. Different days? This passed away in heaven. There's no more night. That's a continuous day. Everything is to the glory of God. How you dress? Well, that depends. Is it with evil intentions? Are you dressing for pride? We're not just talking about sensual clothes. Are you walking around like a peacock, thinking that you look better than others? Then it's sin. But how do you know that of your brother or sister? You should know it about your own heart. The kingdom of God is not measured in what you eat. It is revealed how heavenly you live with your brothers and sisters. That's the essence. That's the goal. Brothers and sisters, don't fight each other, despise each other, bite each other with words, but live in peace. All the other things will pass away. But you're no longer earthly citizens, you're heavenly citizens. But if you feel that even though you're a heavenly citizen, there are certain things you can and cannot do, that may be truly said in heaven, no longer there, but you feel that the Lord wants you to serve him that way, don't change it. Keep serving the Lord that way. That's fine. Do it to the glory of God. But don't judge your brother and sister for it. Live in unity. Fulfill the law of Christ to love one another. If you think that was pushing it, wait till the last point, verses 20 to 23, the third essential truth. Verse 20, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, and whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Keep your faith between yourself and God. Isn't that contrary to what we always think about? We got to share our faith, right? Well, yes, in a gospel sense. We got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. But when it comes to this kind of faith, the faith that you have, the faith that gives you freedom in Christ to do or not do certain things, keep between yourself and God. Don't use it as a club to fight brothers and sisters. Serve God as good as you know how. Paul gives a lot of freedom here. A lot of freedom. He's not putting footnotes all over this place. You know why? Because he trusts the Holy Spirit to lead and guide believers who really live by faith. And that's the people he's talking about. He's not talking about Christians in name only, that just do the outside and maybe go to church every now and then or things like that. He's talking to true believers that have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, that long to live holy, that long to worship God in heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, that want to worship God in everything they have. They've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, if you feel free, even though you never ate pork your whole life, but you read the gospel and you say, all these things have passed away, I've entered into the fullness of Christ, go eat pork. But hold that faith between you and God. For when you walk around brothers that will be offended by you eating pork because they don't have come to that full understanding yet, and they think it's wrong to eat a hot dog, hold it between you and eat something else. Do something else. If somebody says, I cannot do this on Sunday, but you feel the freedom that you can, don't go poking around and say, I can do this. You're going to break your brother's faith. You're going to make his conscience to be bothered. You're going to disturb his faith. Hold it between you and God. Don't go judge him for it. Adjust accordingly. And when he's not there, when she's not there, and you truly believe the freedom is by faith, then walk in the freedom. But never destroy your brother or sister's faith. Let your faith dictate the way you walk with Christ. Walk by faith and not by sight. Don't try to force it on others. Don't judge others. Maybe the best example today is worship music. Some worship God a cappella, no instruments. They are fully persuaded and fully convinced that using instruments in the worship service is wrong. So they sing a cappella and they do it for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Their praise and their worship is acceptable to our great God.
Others want to worship God with an organ
and with a piano. They believe that by worshiping God with the accompaniment of an organ or a piano, they can best worship the Lord and worship Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Praise the Lord. Their worship is accepted by God, for they worship out of faith.
Others believe
they can worship God with a guitar or other instruments. They do it by faith.
They worship God with these other instruments, believing that God has given all these instruments for the glory of God, and they seek to use those instruments for the glory of God.
Praise the Lord. Their worship is acceptable by our great God. It's not about the instruments. I almost point to the piano. Our organ does not have a halo over it. David didn't carry an organ on his back through the desert. It's not the instrument. And it's not wrong not to play with the instrument, not to sing with the instrument. But we enjoy it, don't we? I hope we do. If there's other brothers and sisters that enjoy worshiping God with other instruments, and I'm not trying to make it for the flesh, but they want to worship God with these other instruments, which is possible, brothers and sisters, then their worship is accepted to God, because it's not about the instruments. It's about the faith by which we worship God. Now, you might sit there and hear them sing and say, I cannot focus. I don't enjoy worshiping God with this kind of music. How about your brothers and sisters that sing a cappella? They're only thinking about the organ and the piano and how good it sounds. They can't worship God that way. Who's right? The one who worships by faith is right, not by the flesh. Did you know that you can worship God with an organ in a completely fleshly way? That you're just enjoying the way that Chris plays the organ, and you're not thinking about God at all. This is just how you grew up with, and you just enjoy the music and the way it sounds, and you just, it just gives you such a good feeling, but you're not thinking about God at all. That's as fleshly as somebody that is in a rock band and enjoys the rock music. It just feels different, but it's the same flesh. But our brothers and sisters that sing a cappella have their hearts set on worshiping God, do it by faith, praise the Lord. And it's pleasing to Him. And their Lord and their judge will find it acceptable by their faith. And we, when we sing hymns and organ, hymns with the organ or with the piano, we do it by faith. We seek to worship God together as one voice when we lift up praises to God. It's acceptable by our Lord and our judge. And if others sing to God with other instruments, but they do it by faith, singing to God together for the glory of God, they will be accepted by their Lord and their judge. Who has made you a judge? For whom did you die? They can stand before their own Lord. They don't have to stand before you. That's not sin in self-righteousness. But rejoice that people worship God by faith. And let us test our own hearts that we don't begin to worship God in the flesh, in enjoyment of earthly pleasure while forgetting for whom we sing.
The organ is not unholy. The guitar is not unholy. All these things, they're not unclean. What matters is the faith. If you don't do something, if you do something not according to faith, then it's sin for you.
If we would have a brother coming in our midst, and he is fully persuaded that he should not have the accompaniment of a piano or an organ while he sings praises to God, and he'll come in here and he sees us all singing to God, he'll be sinning to sing along. Because he feels it's wrong to do that. And yet he is doing it, so that makes him sinning. Because he doesn't do it according to faith. But he can't judge us for sinning, because our faith moves us to sing God with an organ and a piano. So let's not judge, and let's not destroy what God is building.
Walk with the Lord. For the faith you have, keep between you, yourself, and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to base judgment on himself for what he approves.
That's the real test, isn't it? Are there things in your life that you're doing while you know you shouldn't, or you don't have faith that God wants you to do that? Then you're in sin. But if all that you do it by faith in God. Praise to the Lord.
So, short application. The point of our text is very simple. Don't destroy what Christ is building.
Don't break down the brothers and sisters that Christ is causing to grow. Don't judge, don't break down, and don't look down. Build one another up in a most holy faith. If you meet a brother or sister tomorrow at work or school or wherever, and he says, "Oh, I loved the worship service this morning. We were singing God praises to God, and the way that the band was joining together is a wonderful thing," you say, "Praise the Lord."
If your brother or sister tomorrow says, "In our church we sang a cappella and it was a wonderful harmony of all the voices coming together and singing as one heart to God," praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't break down what God is building. Walk in unity and walk in love, for we have one Lord, and we have one destination, and we have one Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd help us to understand the words of this text. Lord, we all fall in a spectrum of things that by our faith we can and cannot do. But help us to live in righteousness, peace, and joy with one another. Help us to love one another. Help us to walk by faith with you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.